And so our message is an important message, and I say to every listener who's hearing this and every member of the staff, this is not about perfection. This is about process. You know, being the intentional living man, the guy, the intentional living guy, has set me up, right? And I hear that at home once in a while.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. It's the conclusion of Randy's What is Intentional Living? Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
I'm chuckling to hearing myself there. Being the intentional living guy, I do hear about in love once in a while. That wasn't very intentional, Randy. Hey, listen, I thought you were the intentional living guy. And I laugh because I have to keep saying and repeating and making sure to be clear that intentional living is not about perfection, because if it were, I would be in the ditch, and all of us would be. What it is, though, is it's an opportunity to see that God is an intentional God with intentional love. And when we strive toward the goal, as Paul says in Philippians 3, when we stretch for the goal, which is in being intentional in our daily lives and how we live, how we interact, how we communicate, God gets the glory, if that's the goal, to bring him the glory. And you know what? You benefit. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you might only be 5 when it comes to being intentional. But you know what? If last year you were 3, that's pretty good. All right? So we start where we are today, and we continue to stretch in a way that honors Christ a little bit over an extended period of time. We're wrapping up this series on what is intentional living today. I hope you enjoyed this series. Very practical for you. So let's move to the teaching studio and continue today. There's nothing worse than having a small goal for yourself and then reach it. How many people do we all know who've set goals in their life? They could be financial goals. You know, I'm going to be a millionaire, I'm going to do whatever, build a bit, and they get there and they're not happy. They've reached the goal, but it doesn't give them satisfaction. And I believe it's because it's a violation of Scripture when the Bible says, think not only of your own interests, but also the interest of others. When we do that, there's the focus and the stretching because it's focusing on other people. Number 10, intentional living provides guidance in every stage of life as a result of it. Thought about that last night. What that means is intentional living is a principled way of living. It works for a 20-year-old as well as an 80-year-old. The issues may be different. When I get a chance to speak to younger people, I'm always highly motivated because I know they have so much life ahead of them. If they can be intentional in their 20s, and to really learn what it means to be intentional, it's going to help them in their 30s and 40s when we made mistakes and said, hey, I wish I could have gone back and been intentional in my 30s. How many of us here said, if I go back and be 30 all over again, I'd be more intentional than I am today, right? We'd all raise our hand. And so intentional living is a principle-based, kind of law-driven way of living. There's some basic laws of intentional living. Taking personal responsibility is a law of intentional living. You are the accumulation of the decisions and things you've done in the past. That's kind of a law of intentional living. The law of change is another law of intentional living. You're either getting stronger or weaker. Nothing stays the same. Nothing stays the same. Every time we look in the mirror, we see a change, don't we? And either getting stronger or you're getting weaker. But nothing stays the same for very long. Our homes don't stay the same. Our bodies don't stay the same. Our cars, our culture. I mean, you look at our culture, that's one of the concerns I have. How many societies are in existence today that were in existence 500 years ago? They come, they go. Changes occur. It's a law of change. It just happens. And so it provides guidance in every stage of life. If a person chooses to be intentional in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, when they're on their deathbed in their 80s, that's going to be so ingrained into the way they're thinking, they're going to face death intentionally. There's a message. How do you intentionally die? That's an interesting lesson, wouldn't it? But intentional living is a principled-driven way of living that's biblically based that will take us through every season of life. And then I had the 11th, right? The 11th commandment, I suppose. Intentional living is clarifying when making decisions because of it. When you come to making decisions, I find with people, and I wrestle with this too, you want to make the right decision. And as a result, some people procrastinate. They'll linger. They won't make a decision. They can't make a decision. They want to make the perfect decision. Or others will make quick decisions. Whatever I'm feeling, they make a decision. And many times, both end up being a disaster. Because decision-making is timing, isn't it? You make a decision at the wrong time, in the wrong way, and you're in trouble. But when you have an intentional decision in your life, you're living intentionally, you can look, here's a decision I have to make, and I can make the decision. Joseph had to make a decision. He was very intentional. Nehemiah, my favorite, right? He had to make a decision, and he made the decision. Daniel had to make a decision, and he made the decision. These guys were intentional. Ruth had to make a decision, and Esther had to make a decision. These people had to make decisions, and they chose to be intentional. There was something within them that when they got there, those decisions have already been made. It's kind of like you've heard me say, it's the decision before you make the decision that matters. If you make the decision up front, when you got to make the little decisions, they come a lot easier. So these are 11 things that I think intentional living does. So why am I sharing this with you? I mean, you're saying, hey, I've heard all this stuff. I've heard this in one form or another. Because if we as a team here, and I say this to our team that are listening on the radio as well, as a team here in this ministry, as we embrace the fact that what we are communicating on the radio, what we are communicating on the internet, is not simply the hottest new Christian song, which is a blessing to people. It's lifting people up. It's not just the next message that we put on the air. But our ultimate goal in the worship music that we put on, the music that we play, the teachers that we put on, the conferences that we put on, whatever we do, every person listening, every member supporting this ministry, our goal is to help you not only live an intentional life, but to see that living intentionally in Christ is bringing glory to God and benefit to yourself.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from What is Intentional Living? Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be right back.
I just wanted to share a little story about our family. We've been married 32 years, and we have 5 children, 2 grandchildren now, and we have always just survived on a very minuscule amount of money. My husband's in the trades, so in construction, painting, wallpapering, now home inspecting. The lower income level, I would say we pay the lowest tax rate there is, but we've always managed to get by. I use a lot of thrift stores. I go to Goodwills. I enjoy yard selling. I'm just very thrifty, and I've always just found that if you have heart in anything that you do, it doesn't have to have a lot of flu-flu. It doesn't have to be ruffly and fancy, but just the simplest meal can be the sweetest if the hearts are in the right place. And I think, you know, that contentment that we're told in Scripture to have is really what gets you through. And we have great memories, no regrets. And the money hasn't increased all that much. We're doing a little better maybe with age, but still, I'm still teaching my daughters the same little tips.
Today's program by Dr. Randy is called What is Intentional Living? And this month, when you become a monthly member, you'll not only get Dr. Randy's coaching CDs every month, but we'll also send you our brand new 16-month calendar, You Belong Here. You'll find the artwork is, once again, absolutely stunning. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-1717 and press option number 4. Thanks. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues, What is Intentional Living?
Whatever we do, every person listening, every member supporting this ministry, our goal is to help you not only live an intentional life, but to see that living intentionally in Christ is bringing glory to God and benefit to yourself. My greatest joy is when I see someone or hear someone who either calls in or comes to me to a conference and says, I have chosen to be more intentional in my marriage, and here's the result of it, and here's the difference it's making. Now, I'm going to close with this. When we teach intentional living, one of the things I see is that we can be intentional in one area of our life and very unintentional in another area. You may be very intentional in your faith. You read the Bible and you're growing and you're mature and you're really trusting God. But when it taking that and applying it to being intentional with your money, you may be really, really blowing it. I think that's displeasing to Christ. I really do. Now, he loves you, but not only is it displeasing to him, you lose the benefit from that. You can be intentional in your marriage and have a great marriage and working on your marriage and be very unintentional in how you parent. I think that displeases Christ. And if we can be sensitive to figure out what pleases him, then we need to be sensitive to figure out what displeases him. And when we do, we make those changes because on one hand, we know there's glory for him. And on the other hand, very selfishly, the reality is I benefit from it. If I'm being intentional as a parent, my kids are going to be better off. There's going to be more peace in our home. And so our message is an important message. And I say to every listener who's hearing this and every member of the staff, this is not about perfection. This is about process. You know, being the intentional living man, you know, the guy, the intentional living guy, has set me up. Right? And I hear that at home once in a while. And so I'm quick to remind us that this is a process. This is not about, I'm there. There's not a destination for this. No one's ever going to say, I'm there. I am totally intentional. I am there. But every day, you know, what is it today? Just, you know, something today, Lord. I think that pleases him. Isn't it like with your kids? When you see your kids trying a little harder in one area, they're just working on something because they know that there's a benefit for them and the family's better. I think that's a good thing. What we don't want is them operating out of that, you're not going to love me if I don't do this. And that's such a balancing act for us as Christians, because if you grew up in a home where love was proportional to how good you were, it's easy to slip into that mode with this message. And that's not the message at all. We bring glory to God. And hey, by the way, some of the drippings from the table, some of the things that fall off the table is a blessing to me when I do it. And I think as we communicate that message, folks, every day to our listeners, as we communicate that in our writing and in our conferences and online, if we live it as a process of every day saying, Lord, what one thing can I do today or be today or change today? Just one thing. 365 in a year. In a lifetime, about 27,000 days. Pretty powerful thing, isn't it? Life is short. Again, our days need to be numbered, and they are. And if we live them every day, just one thing. I tell people in the conferences, look back at the end of the day and say, what one thing did I do today that brought him glory? Just one thing. Just one thing. It might be one simple thing. You know, those are the kinds of things we can do. Just that's not only benefit brings glory to God, but it feels good. It benefits us when we choose to live this way every day. This ministry is not about just putting stuff on the radio, folks. This ministry is not just about making sure we got a tight playlist and a great format. Certainly a part of that. But I'll tell you what, if that's all it is, the people listening will sense it. It gets to be hollow. We got to engage with these people. These people are hurting. We are. We're all struggling. You turn on the radio, they want to get hope, but also help. And that's the two things that we can offer through the two arms of our ministry, through our radio and communication, and through our Intentional Living Center. A powerful 1-2 punch for ministry. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. You know my heart for this topic, and it's helpful to me because it's something I wrap my mind around and try to comprehend, and we can apply together in ministry. May we be creative as we do and personally engaged as we grow. Thank you for this time together today and for hearing your word and hopefully learning something, one thing that can help us grow closer to you. In Christ's name, amen. We're live back here in our Intentional Living studio. Thank you for allowing me to share these 4 days with you. Maybe you could tell my voice was a little raspy on the day I recorded this, or a little dry throat from a dry Arizona summer. I'm not sure. I hope the content spoke to you and encouraged you. I'd love your feedback. I always appreciate hearing from you. things you understand, don't understand, agree with, disagree with, add to my knowledge and understanding. We're here together sharing this journey. Go ahead and communicate. 888-888-1717 on our storyline, or go to theintentionallife.com. And by the way, when you're at our website or when you call, we have something very special. I want to encourage you, if you're not a member supporting every month, we want to send to you my coaching CDs every month, and it goes out to members all over the country. And if you're not a member, when you become a member today, we'll make sure you start to receive those. And right now, with our thanks for your generous gift, by the way, not only as a monthly member, but if you share a single gift to help us at this point, we're going to send you the brand new 16-month wall calendar, You Belong Here. You're going to love it. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast hours, and we'll thank you in advance for your support. All right, stay tuned. Coming up, our senior producer, Steve Tanner, is going to come back to wrap up his interview with this man who leads an intentional international ministry and really is living it. I hope you're enjoying this this story. We'll get to it in just a moment.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
The funny thing about life is, the more you share, the more you have. Your support for Intentional Living gives hope away to thousands of people God is speaking to through this radio ministry. So for your special gift today, we'd like you to have our new 16-month calendar for 2018. You can start using it this year and enjoy 16 months worth of beautiful photos and scripture, reminding you, you belong here. Please go to theintentionallife.com to make your special gift today, and we'll send you the 2018 16-month calendar. That's theintentionallife.com. And thanks for giving.
This is Steve Tanner for Intentional Living. Today I wrap up a very special conversation with a very intentional man. He's Bill Simmons, a man who left a successful retail business career to become president of American Leprosy Missions. It's a ministry that's making a real difference in the lives of thousands with some very intentional methods for medical, emotional, and spiritual care. So, Bill, we read about it in the Bible. Let's back up the train a little bit and talk about what exactly is leprosy.
It's an infection. Scientists still don't know what the method of transmission is, but you get a bacteria, and we all get bacterial infections all the time, and they're treated with antibiotics, and that's the same with leprosy, actually. Leprosy, when treated soon or quickly and diagnosed quickly, is no worse than getting strep throat or something else. Left untreated because of the fear around the disease, people develop complications, and the bacteria ultimately damages the nerves in people's hands and feet. Their whole peripheral nervous system is damaged. And so we can then give you the antibiotics, and now the bacteria are gone, but we can't resurrect those nerve fibers that are forever damaged. And so that leads to ongoing issues with disability or potential damage, that injuries that you can have, and also muscle atrophy, all sorts of things that happen when you lose nerve function in parts of your body. And that happens with leprosy. And I have one of my board members who says she had leprosy for many years in her life. And she would always say that it's one thing to have been cured of a disease, but it's another thing to look like you're still sick. Mm. And so people who have had leprosy have a very kind of specific manifestation of the disease when it started to harm their bodies. And it makes, especially in poor communities around the world, it makes them very identifiable. And so then people can easily then ostracize someone because of the disease. And so it's both a medical disease in the sense that it's a bacteria and there's a way to treat it, which is an incredible thing that there is an actual cure. But on the other hand, people who have not received the treatment in time, it's a social, psychological type of a disease as well. It's not only a bacterial infection.
And not that anyone would say, oh, goody, I get to do this. But I'm thinking about when you talk about the scars. Talk about someone, maybe your board member is an example, who's had this, who wears the scars of it, but who God has turned that to use those scars to minister to others.
Sure. There's two things that come to mind. I have another board member who also had leprosy, and he is from Zimbabwe. And one of the things that they can do in leprosy, when your hands have become atrophied and start to kind of curl in on themselves, the fingers start to curl in, there is a way to correct that through some corrective surgery. And he has never gone through that surgery, because now that he is healed of the disease, now when he goes around the world, he knows that other people who have leprosy can identify that he had it. So even though he could actually recover some more function in his hands, he doesn't want to, because he wants to be able to have that identity with other people so that he can minister to them, so that they have that element of trust that, sure, oh, you've walked a mile in my shoes. And so it's an amazing story that he tells, but I'm not sure if I could relate to that. Would I be willing to give up part of the function of my hands just so that others could identify with me? It's a great question. The other way I've seen that happen is in communities where we teach people to care for themselves and care for those disabilities. And so where initially when they're diagnosed, they're maybe outcast and they're on the margins and they're not a part of their community, and we work to restore that, the most beautiful thing I've seen happen is where people who once were cursed, because they were considered cursed in their community because they had leprosy, that same group of people goes out in Nepal, and they start to build houses for the Dalit people, which are the untouchables. And so God takes people who were cursed, and now they are a source of blessing to others in their community. And when you see someone who a community once shunned being the ones who say, you know, I recognize what it's like to be outcast, and so we are going to go to the outcast. It's to me the most physical example I've seen of God's upside down kingdom, the inverted kingdom, where the poor are the ones who are serving. But it's the restoration that they've experienced and in their lives that now they're the ones who are working among people that no one else wants to be a part of. That's an amazing thing to see.
Talk about involvement. How American Leprosy Missions, you're not just documenting cases of leprosy, you're doing something about it. What kind of work are you doing, and how do people get involved?
So we work from the very beginning. We work in identifying people who have leprosy through our partners around the world, ensuring that they get the medicine in time, that they're diagnosed early so they don't have all of these other issues that go along with the social aspects of disability and leprosy. But then we work in restoring people to their communities. We work ensuring that people can have a livelihood. And then we also get to see people so often who I remember Sarita is a lady in Nepal, and she, after working, coming to one of our partners, after experiencing all of these things I just talked about, the loss and the separation, she gets treated. But while she's getting treated, she notices that before the doctors are doing surgery, they're praying for her. And she'd never seen that. She grew up Hindu, and she didn't understand what was going on. And so through a process of going to devotions at the hospital, she gave her life to Christ. And so she talks about how now she has all sorts of peace and happiness in her life. And so we work with partners who also do that part of the work as well. The physical aspect of healing, but also ensuring that there's an opportunity for people to discover why we do what we do, which is because of the example that Christ laid out before us. And so that's the work that we do. And so donors and partners are the ones who make that possible. We don't really do the work. We are a conduit for people that God has called to work in a part of the kingdom. Always, that's how I feel about my role. God's kingdom is an incredible tapestry. It's an incredible array of small plots of fields. And when God has us wander through a corner of the field, I always say, why am I here? What is God inviting me to do. And so leprosy is just a small part of the kingdom, and it's a small part of the work that God is doing around the world, but it is a work that he's doing. And so anytime I get to talk to someone about our work, or people get to hear about our work on the radio, I always say, why does God want you to know that he still cares about people affected by leprosy, and how is that supposed to impact your life? And maybe that is to be a participant and to engage through the various ways that we have for people to be involved. We have monthly sustaining givers. We have people who give one time. All of that can happen on our website. It's pretty easy to remember, at leprosy.org. And people can partner with us to ensure that we're still able to continue to extend and demonstrate the love of Christ to people affected by leprosy around the world.
And it's our pleasure to make you aware of that mission and ministry opportunity. You can find out so much more at today's highlights page at theintentionallife.com, as well as hear much more from my full-length conversation with Bill Simmons, president of American Leprosy Missions. Bill tells some amazing stories of God's work in this mission, and we talk about stigmas and fears and the fact that we no longer use the term leper. It's all on the website at theintentionallife.com, and click on today's highlights page. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner. Dr. Randy is back right after this.
I called a couple weeks ago. I had a concern, like, whenever I'm around people, my mind would always say, well, nobody's going to talk to you, or nobody's going to sit by you, and this just haunts me. And so I just want to thank you for how you've been focusing on the mind and, like, changing my mind and my thinking. I'm really trying really, really hard to think different, just rebuke these negative thoughts. I just really do appreciate your ministry, and so I'd like to become a support your ministry. Again, I really appreciate you focusing on the mind. Okay, thank you. God bless you. Goodbye.
You're very welcome, and thank you for coming and standing with us. You know, we not only focus on the mind, but also the hands and the heart. You get all of those straight in a relationship with Christ, and huge things, very positive things begin to happen. And by the way, for those who are joining as a member, becoming a monthly supporter, you're going to start receiving my coaching CDs every month. We're going to get these out to you, along with thousands of others right now around the country. And speaking about right now, with our thanks for your generous gift by becoming a monthly member, or right now only, even as a single gift to the ministry, we want to send you our brand new 16-month wall calendar called You Belong Here. You're going to love it. It's gorgeous. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. Okay? Appreciate it. Hey, kids and money. There's quite a mix. How do you do that as a parent? Our friend Parky Thompson joins me next time from Intentional Living.